Wanted to welcome those online as well joining us this morning. Okay, we're good. Let's get to the Word. In the New Testament, we're in the book of Hebrews. So Hebrews chapter 6 is where we're going to land this morning. We've been going through a bit of a series. The first Sunday of every month, I've been unpacking a series. There's 6 points in Hebrews chapter 6 in the first couple verses, so we'll look at them together. It says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation from the repentance of acts that lead to death. That was, you know, the first message back in January. In faith in God is the second one. Instructions about baptisms, we talked about that last month. And this month, we're going to talk about the laying on of hands is number 4. We'll talk about the resurrection of the dead on May 5th and eternal judgment on the June the 9th. And God permitting, we will be able to learn these elementary teachings and be growing and maturing in Christ Jesus. Isn't that the focus of why we came here this morning? We open up the scriptures because we want to grow. We want to mature. We want to get fed spiritually. We want God to speak to us, and so we're going to do that together. And as we unpack this message, I want to consider it like a sandwich. And so we're going to use the New Testament, and then we're going to use the New Testament on the bottom, and we're going to put some Old Testament right in the middle, some meat there. So we're going to use it all. It's going to be delicious by the time. We'll be well fed at the end of this thing. Now, have you ever received a text, email, something that you would probably help maybe an elderly person with and say, you need to delete that. Don't click on that. That's bait. It's trying to trap you or trick you into giving them some of your confidential information. And so I thought for fun one day, many years ago, I thought, let's just play along for a little bit here. Let's just see where this goes. And I ended up getting a money order in the bank, or in the mail, sorry, for the bank that I bank at, the Toronto Dominion. So if you look at this, it even smells like a money. It feels like a money order. It's $2,280. I'm rich, man. I can't wait to go out or whatever. I should probably tithe off that or something. But I took it to the bank, and I said, let's have some fun with this. And I gave it to the teller, and she said, oh, yeah, no problem. She's going to get me the money. I said, excuse me, can you bring out the bank manager? Because I want you to just have a double check of that money order. And so the bank manager came out and, you know, got, this is what she did, honestly. She was like, okay, let me get my glasses out here. Oh, yeah, I can see here there's this thing missing right here. And oh, that's a little bit out of order. But if you didn't know, it is so close. And I thought to myself, as always, anytime something happens in my life, I'm like, that'll preach one day. And so here I am preaching it one day. We don't want to be deceived. We don't want counterfeit. We only want truth. We only want to get to the bottom line. We don't want to waste our time. We want to protect each other. And so let's open our eyes to the truth of God's word as we look at Scripture. Allow it to speak to us and to minister it to us. Did you know, because we're part of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, the POC, there's 209 churches across BC Yukon. And within that, there's a district manager, people that hold me accountable, and I'm looking at this, I'm on camera, I better be careful what I say. Did you know that across Canada, the POC is thousands of churches with wonderful theologians and Bible scholars and teachers, and I'm accountable to them. Did you know that the Pentecostal movement is a global movement and there's tens of thousands of churches all across the globe and we partner with that and I don't stand in front of this camera worried, I stand here thankful that we are accountable to a higher standard and that what Pastor Ben and I say from here is not like scrutinized or they send me a message on what to speak on. But we are held accountable. We cannot preach false doctrine. I can't just spin it the way I want you to hear it. I have to bring truth. Isn't that kind of a reassurance for you and a sweating bullets for me? Every time I get up here, I tell you, I'm like butterflies and I'm like, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that what I say would be truth only. And that if there's ever any misunderstanding, you don't quite understand that the scriptures would speak to you, and that you always know this, that my door is always open. Monday to Thursday, 9 to 5, Pastor Rob, there's my email. Whatever you need to do, please come talk to us. We come here together because we want to not be, misled or misinterpreted. We want to come here together to lift up the name of Christ. And some messages, honestly, I find quite easy to preach because it spoke to me. It changed my life. And sometimes there's messages that I find hard to palate. And I'm like, oh, God, because God's teaching me something through his word. And so we're not perfect, and we never will be. And Pastor Rob isn't perfect either, just in case we all thought kind of something about that idea. So I'm still learning. And so as I learn, I want to share with you. And so I hope that it blesses you as we look at it together. So let's look at some of the sandwich as we talked about here. Let's go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6. We were in Hebrews 6. Let's go to Acts 6. And we're going to look at just a few stories about this idea of laying on of hands. Because there are some times when we've seen it done well. We've seen laying on hands have done well. And we've seen some times have it done really poorly. And you may have been even impacted by when it was done incorrectly. So Acts chapter 6, verse 1, it says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing. Now I just want to just pause there for a second, because when the church was launched, people started getting added to the church on a daily basis. More and more people, more and more people. Do you notice the terminology it uses here? It doesn't say that the church was full and the seats were filled up and we were all praising God, hallelujah. No, it was saying that the number of disciples was increasing. And so as a pastor, we can look at it from two different angles. We could say, you should be a disciple maker. You should pull up your socks and you should serve the church and you better get busy. How did that feel? kind of condemn you into it. I'm going to beat the scripture into you. You better, Or the flip side, which I think is the correct side, thank God that you got saved. Thank God that you're here this morning because you're wanting to grow and mature because you are disciples, because you are disciple makers. Because as you interact with your family, as you interact in this community, you are bringing people the truth. You're pointing them towards Christ with your lifestyle and the way that you live and the way that you talk and the way that you represent yourself. We've got a church full of a ton of disciples. So I hope that encourages you versus the other way. Because, have you ever tried to condemn somebody into doing something or force somebody to doing something? Usually the job gets done pretty poorly. But when you show and you love and you're gentle and you speak into somebody's life, do you see the difference of that? It just feels good. You're like, yeah. I like that, versus ouch, I feel like you're whipping me or something here. Let's go on to verse 2. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. And so they chose 7 from among them to represent, as they were so busy, the church was exploding, all the ministries and the food distribution was going, the thing was just exponential. They said, we need more and more help, we need more and more leaders. So they chose 7 men, they presented them to the apostles, and it says this in verse 6, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So that, what happened after that? As they laid their hands on them and prayed for them, so the word of God spread. And the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests also became obedient to the faith. Poh, that's so powerful, isn't it? We see here that the disciples were being promoted, and so how do we promote them? Do we just give them a name, like a CEO? Like maybe somebody was a COO, and we promoted them, so we gave them a C and then an EO. And so, okay, sure, we can give them a promotion like that. We can give them a promotion of finances. Maybe they get a better, pay. Maybe they get more benefits. Maybe they have a better office. Maybe they even have keys to a car, a new car. That's how they got promoted. They got, the best parking spot. But it doesn't talk about that. It talks about that they laid their hands on them and the word of God spread. That was their promotion. Isn't that exciting? I get to serve Jesus. I get to be a part of the responsibility of the church. And this was like some of the first churches. And so what a positive movement. So we see the laying on of hands in a blessing, in a good way, in something positive, exciting. And so let's just skip over just a couple chapters here to Acts chapter 9. And we would see here in most of Acts chapter 9, at least the first half, is there's somebody, his name is Saul at the time, and he was being converted into who we know as the Apostle Paul. This is his salvation story. For time's sake, we don't have time to read it all, verses 1 to 19. But it boils down to this idea that Saul was out persecuting the church. He hated God. He hated people that followed the way. He wanted to kill them. And so he's on his way to kill Christians. He got promoted. He even had letters to go and kill people. And he even had some people, coming alongside him, protecting him. And on the way to kill Christians and crucify the church, Jesus shows up on the scene. And he's blinded and he can't see. His companions are like, "What's wrong with you, Saul?" He can't see anything. So his companions have to help him to the closest community. And he just lay there for a few days. And then the Lord speaks to a Christian in this community. He says, "I want you to go over to this guy, Saul, and I want you to do something." And we're going to pick it up here. This is where we're going to pick it up in verse 17. This is the guy he spoke to. So God speaks to this guy, Ananias. He says, "Then Ananias went to the house and entered. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" When God prompts you, have you ever had a divine appointment where God, you feel like, okay, God's orchestrated this moment, he's set the stage, and you feel called to do something, whatever it looks like, and then have you ever kind of backed out of that? Have you ever kind of like, ooh, okay, God, I'm not sure. That's out of my comfort zone. I don't want to do that. And so for Ananias, oh my gosh, the guy that's trying to kill Christians, I want you to go and talk with the guy. Like, that's uncomfortable, right? You'd be like, oh my gosh, what are you? So it's like the most uncomfortable situation you could ever come up with. I don't know what yours is, but this is way more uncomfortable. And Ananias is like, okay, I'm going to go do it. I'm going to trust God, because I'm going to be obedient to him. And he does it, and something miraculous happens. What if Ananias didn't obey? That would be an interesting thought. That would be a fun way to, read a storybook, and all of a sudden if he didn't obey, what would happen to Saul? I'm sure God has other plans for Saul, and he'd turn him into Paul a different way. But the obedience was the important part. And sometimes we miss that, and sometimes we're held up by that. Sometimes we feel like we're like, I don't know enough about the word yet. I'm new to this Christian thing. I've got a lot to figure out, and I'm not even a member yet, and list goes on and on and on, and we're afraid. But remember, you're a disciple. God's with you. He's giving you everything you need. If you wait till the day that you feel ready, actually, I want to meet with you, because you're not ready. You need to go back to the beginning and allow God to just use you and speak through you. Now, the laying on of hands here, we can see some pretty positive experiences here. So, commissioning, we see the laying on of hands is kind of like healing. So laying on of hands is something that we should consider doing. Now, let's not get bent out of shape, though, on this thing. If you land on this side of the spectrum, you're like, laying on of hands, I've never heard it preach well. I don't know much about it. I've seen it done in a negative way. I'm afraid of somebody touching me and laying their hands on me. I don't want that. Or we could be on the other side. We're so extreme. We're like, all of a sudden, you're laying hands on everybody. Everywhere you go, you're like, "Let me pray for you. Let me lay your hands on you." And then the people see you in the grocery store. It's a small town. They're like, "Oh my gosh, there's so and so." They want to get away from you because they're like, "This guy's way too spiritual." Okay, so you got two spectrums: like never, it's weird, and like just over. Let's just land somewhere in the middle, because we see it in Scripture. Let's allow the Lord to just use us and speak to us and guide us in that. And so again, you may have never done it. You may have never heard about it. So you know, just start to learn about. Look at Scripture as we're looking at today. And if you're doing it too much, there isn't anybody in this church actually that does that, but don't go too far that way. It's important. It's scriptural. We want to do it. Even if we don't have a full understanding of it, let's learn about it. Let's have some small understanding, because what we read in Hebrews is that it's an elementary teaching. It should be some of the ABCs that we have of our faith that is part of it. I want to get saved. I got to get repentance of my sins. I got to get baptized. If God asks me to one day, to lay hands on somebody. And please, in Jesus' name, as I did this morning, as you saw prior to the message, when I said to Cindy, is it okay if I lay my hands on you? Because some people, that's too much. Don't burst their bubble. The anointing's still there. It's not like, because, oh, I can't touch you. No blessing. Nothing good for you. Oh, no touching. I'm out of here. You know, you're accountable to God, not me. I did my part. I asked. You know, no, don't be silly. You know, some people have been hurt. Some people have been abused. Don't cross that threshold if you don't need to. Ask. If they're open to it, cool. If not, in Jesus' name, we just pray a blessing over this person. It's not about the hands. It's not about the process. It's about the obedience to do it. Open your mouth. Say yes to God. Thank you, Lord. Okay, a little bit of New Testament. Let's go back to some Old Testament times. We're going to see the laying on of hands all the way back to Numbers. Numbers chapter 8. We'll start reading. Some context will start coming out as we go here. So Numbers chapter 8 in verse 5 says, the Lord said to Moses, take the Levites from among you and the other Israelites and make them ceremonially clean. Whoa. How are we going to do that? To purify them, do this. Sprinkle water on them, cleansing them. Then have them shave their whole bodies and wash their clothes. Those smelly clothes, hairy men. And so purify themselves. Take a young bull with its grain offering and some fine flour mixed with oil. Then you will take a second young bull for a sin offering. Bring the Levites in front of the whole tent of meeting and the assembly of the whole Israelite community. You are to bring the Levites before the Lord, and the Israelites are to lay their hands on them. Aaron is to be present, the Levites before the Lord, as a wave offering from the Israelites, so that they may be ready to do the work of the Lord. So what's the purpose here of the laying on of hands? And then these individuals were set aside to be holy to the Lord, to offer sacrifices on behalf of all the people, we're in the Old Testament, right? You had to kill something, you had the blood sacrifice. And so that was repentance of all the sins. That was the act that Jesus satisfied. We see in the New Testament, right? Jesus shed his blood, died on the cross, so we don't have to slaughter any more animals. But we see that clearly here. How do we set them apart? We do that a few ways, by shaving them and washing them and anointing them and then laying hands on them as we commission them forth. So that's just a great thought. At that time in history, culturally, what was happening a lot was that shaving and the clothes. Because I don't know if they just didn't have razors back then, or if men were just really burly and hairy and all that kind of stuff. But when someone was set apart at that point and they shaved, it was very noticeable. It was like, whoa, this person has been sanctified, has been set apart for something. And it would go so far as to not even clean their clothes. It was like, burn those clothes. Those are disturbing. Those socks, man, that's a teenager sock. And they were given brand new clothes. So it was like, whoa, look at that guy. You know, clean shaven, brand new clothes. It was obvious that there was something going on. And so we see that on the laying on of hands again, it was to commission them for the works of service for the Lord. And so for you and I, when we think about this, yeah, suit on. You can clean up, and my wife likes my beard, so I don't shave that off. That's external. We can't see the work that's going on inside of your heart and your spirit, but God has cleaned you up, and God has set you apart. And God has commissioned you and is laying his hands on you and say, go forth, my child. You are a disciple maker of the King. Isn't that wonderful to think about? So it's not so much exterior. Because if we only dealt with the exterior, like, it starts falling apart. You know, I was riding my bike the other day. I was like, I can't do the things I like to do before. So actually, just seriously, there was a bike on sale. I got it for half price. It's lighter. So I'm thinking, now I can do the things I used to do. Because again, if we're worried about all of this exterior stuff, it's going by the wayside. And so we've got to focus on the heart, the spirit. Because it doesn't matter your age. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Like, oh, it's just, I'm suffering. The Spirit of God is alive in you, and it's filling you, and it's moving you, and it's just causing you to get excited about things. That's what's happening. He's giving you something fresh and new. And we see so visually here in the Old Testament, I preach about this all the time, is that clothing is an identity in the Old Testament. It's a type and a shadow of something happening to you. Is that before you were saved, you wore certain kinds of sin. You wore greed and selfishness and ungodliness and unholiness. And God set you free and he stripped you of all of that and he put his garment of righteousness and holiness upon you. That's who you are in Christ. You're a brand new creation in Jesus. Because he laid his hands upon you and filled you with the Spirit. That's fun news. Isn't that just wonderful? Praise God for the word. And so we had that privilege of 5.5 years ago when our family moved here. If you've been around that long, you would remember that you guys prayed and you said, God, we don't have a pastor. We just need to pray that somebody shows up and responds to the calling. And I was in Yukon and Whitehorse at Bethany Church. I was there for 16 years. I was having a wonderful time. Loved that church. And then God was like, it's time to go. Got a new mission for you. Got a new commission for you. So we arrived here, and so this is Ken Russell is our district superintendent, and that's my whole family. That was 5.5 years ago. Look at my kids. Little babies, you know. And my kids now are just like, yeah, you know, some big boys now. And anyway, there you go. And so Ken Russell just said, you know, we feel the call of God on Pastor Rob and his family to be here. And Ken laid his hands on us. And Ken anointed us with oil and said, we commission you to be here and we release you into this church. So that was a lot of fun. And I see that it wasn't just done for kicks or something that, you know, was fun on camera. It was done because it's scriptural. It's the way it should be. And so when I even think about us with our family and our kids, and you look at your son and your daughter and your grandkids, I want you to look at them and consider that. I want to invest in them. I want to pour into them. And it might even just physically look like, I might just even lay my hand or just pray for them in Jesus' name because I see something inside of them. I want to build them up. And we can so easily focus on, I'm a parent. I got 4 kids. Like, let's be realistic. I'm not perfect, and they're not perfect either. And there's moments when I'm not thinking about laying my hands on them. I'm not thinking about, throttling something, kicking something, breaking something, right? That's reality. But make sure you live in the other space too. Don't just focus on all the negative things. They're not perfect. They don't have it together. Put that sock away. Why is that out here? Why didn't you do the dishes? Why is this recycling out there? Like, spend a little bit of language investing in them. Say, oh, I when you did that, I watched you give this thing, or I watched you have that thought. I watched you send that email. When you did that, that blessed that person, and that blessed God, and that makes me so proud to be your dad. Like, come on, church. We are to invest in our kids. We're to speak into their lives in Jesus' name. Okay, we had the meat there in the middle, the Old Testament. Let's get to the New Testament again. Let's get to Timothy here. So we're in the New Testament here. Timothy chapter 1, or 1 Timothy, I apologize, chapter 4. We'll start in verse 12. It says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set as an example for the believers to in speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity. Do you see all those positive things, those things that we get excited about? The Apostle Paul could have said, Timothy, you blockhead, you're just messing it up. What's wrong with you? You're an idiot. Grow up. Quit messing around. Like, what benefit would that be? Instead, he speaks all these wonderful things over him. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. Oh, it's so scriptural, isn't it? As we read the Scripture here, it just is moving. It just feeds our church. Reading of Scripture to the preaching and the teaching of the Word. And don't neglect your gift, which was given to you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you, Timothy. Don't forget about that. You don't forget about when you got saved. You were messed up and God set you free. And there was an excitement, wasn't there? Lots of times there's tears and there's just an overwhelming joy because you were in bondage and then you were in freedom in Jesus' name. That was something to rejoice about. And then so often it's in the rearview mirror. And then real life kicks in. And other things mess us up and put us on the wrong trajectory. Live in that space where you're free in Jesus. God has you. He's going to support you. He's going to do everything he can to make sure that you go in the right direction. And he's given you a gift. What is it? It doesn't have to be up here speaking. It doesn't have to be on the worship team. It doesn't have to be in the Sunday school. It can be shoveling manure for crying out loud at Cindy's place during the Bible study while the ladies are getting blessed. Wouldn't that be good? Cindy's in there blessing the ladies and you're cleaning up her yard. I'm telling you, that's powerful. God will double honor, bless that kind of ministry. But I'm serious, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be all shiny and new. I remember somebody was doing a renovation in my bathroom the other day and I had the plunger thing. And it was just dirty and gross. I gotta wash this thing, man. But maybe you have the plunger, man. You're gonna clean up all the bathrooms all the time. Whatever it happens to be, God will bless you for it. God wants you to do it because he's gifted you. You might be very talented at that. You might be the best. So you wanna get it right. So think about that as a church, though. When you come through these doors, those chairs are measured to be straight. The floors are meticulous. The PowerPoint is majestic. The coffee is, I actually don't even like coffee. Why did I even bring that one? It's terrible. The cookies that are gluten-free are, look at the Welcome Center. It just looks wonderful. It's because everybody's leaning in and everybody's bringing their gift to the table, which builds us all up. And it's all about releasing and laying hands and saying, go, you're released. Not about there's only one guy that does all the work here. Pastor Ben and I do everything. Just enjoy, relax, be comfortable in your nice new chair. You know, that's what? No, it's not like that. It should be about this team, this unified team. And we do this because we want to bless each other. Let's look at just one more piece of scripture because we love scripture. James, let's just go forward just a few books here. James chapter 5, verse 14. Did you know that the turning of pages is heavenly music to the Lord? Just wanted to clarify that, scriptural. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And so we see, again, the laying on of hands in different capacities, that sometimes it's to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's to be commissioned into ministry. Sometimes it brings healing. Sometimes it brings encouragement. And so please don't allow, again, a negative experience of the laying on of hands to direct your thoughts about biblical truth. I've witnessed in my own experience where individuals will lay hands on people's heads and in Jesus' name and try and push you over. That is not scriptural. The laying on of hands is like God would. How would God speak to you? In a small, still, gentle voice. He would just come alongside and just love you and encourage you. That's the kind of laying on of hands that we're referring to. That's the biblical laying on of hands. Again, don't let your experiences derail it. If you've never done laying on of hands, you feel a little awkward, you know, learn the scriptures, you know, lean in a bit. Again, I don't think anybody's here that's super over spiritual and I need to, you know, kind of rein you in or something, but isn't that just wonderful news about the Word of God and how it works and some things that God has asked us to do. So let me just close in a time of prayer. Let me just pray with us now. And so, Father, this morning, on these difficult topics that we're unpacking scripturally, looking for truth, Father, there is some confusion out there. And in Jesus' name, we rebuke confusion. We rebuke false doctrine. We rebuke ways that it's been done that's been destructive and has been done in a selfish or the wrong spirit attitude. And Father, in the name of Jesus, as we've been reading so often here today, we pray for love. We pray for a filling of your spirit. Father, would you reach your hand down from heaven and touch us, touch our spirits, touch our minds, touch our bodies in Jesus' name, and fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can be the disciples that you've called us. God, you've gifted us, and we're so grateful for that. We don't want anything to hinder our gift. And would you give us, quicken our thoughts, quicken our feet, quicken our minds to respond to you and to you alone. We don't want to respond to any other voice, any other spirit. We only want to respond to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Would you bless us and speak to us today in Jesus' name? Amen.